Ringrazio Laia, mi sembra che ci abbia anche fatto capire, è una cosa di cui abbiamo parlato sempre con Robert, anche lui catalano. Il problema non è indipendenza, non indipendenza, autonomia, non autonomia. Il problema è che quando si utilizzano gli strumenti della repressione, evidentemente c'è qualcosa che non funziona. In questo caso mi sembra che Laia ci abbia ben spiegato che gli strumenti della repressione non sono solamente il manganello e il lacrimogeno, ma sono, come avviene ormai sempre più da tutte le parti, gli strumenti della modifica normativa, dell'applicazione normativa, dell'aberrazione giuridica. Non, cioè, non, il problema non è il poliziotto che mi picchia, perché, vabbè, picchia me, pazienza. E mi è già, infatti qualcuno dice che succede abbastanza di sovente. Adesso direi, intanto inizio a ringraziare tutti, ma do la parola a Cereno Isal. Lei ci parla di, non lo so se ci parla del futuro dell'Europa. Tutti sappiamo che la situazione in Turchia è particolarmente grave. Lo stato di emergenza, la violazione dei diritti credo che siano endemici. Secondo me dobbiamo ascoltarla con molta attenzione perché dobbiamo fare attenzione a quello che può succedere, quello che può essere, che in parte è già, ma che può diventare ancora peggio l'Europa.
Good afternoon. First of all, I feel pressure. I should be honest. I am the last speaker, so I think I have to be faster than the others because I'm sure that everyone is very tired. Today I will try to draw the relation between repression and resistance, and I just want you to know that this is not a coincidence. This choice comes from believing that in times of darkness, there will always be resistance in the face of deepening repression, and also believing, without talking about resistance, speaking about the mechanisms of repression of the state apparatus, produce sometimes pessimism. First of all, I would like to draw the time scope of my speech from the very beginning. I will not only describe the practice of repression during the state of emergency, and also, I will not give examples of resistance only against or during state of emergency in Turkey. In both parts, my aim is also underlining the continuity. In the last few years, due to the fact that the lawlessness experienced together with the state of emergency in Turkey has spread to the broadest part of the society that does not support the AKP, the government, drives us sometimes to make a historical mistake. Like starting the history of repression in Turkey from the declaration of state of emergency. However, such an interpretation causes an exclusion, and it would be great injustice to exclude the systematic repression against Kurdish people, against the socialists and communists, against the environmental activists dealing with all those urban transformation processes, against the gender activists who are struggling again, against every kind of discrimination in everyday life. But this is not the only problem. Such an approach will also lead us to lack of understanding of state repression and its concrete tools. In this case, I would prefer you to listen to me as a speaker from one geography in which the repression is essentially deepened by the announcement of the state of emergency, but in fact, the repression was always there and will continue. Turkey is an important example to open up the meaning of the term normal and or ordinary while referring to the organization called the state. I am avoiding any theoretical reference but would like to give a few examples from Turkey. Let us take the date of July 20, 2016 when the state of emergency was declared in Turkey as a milestone just for a minute and talk about a few years before and after this date, this milestone. 21 July 2015, Suruç. A bomb exploded in the middle of a press release, was organized by university students, 31 person dead. October 10, 2015, Ankara massacre. A bomb exploded in the middle of a peaceful demonstration and 100 people dead. We do not know the number of Kurds killed in Cizre, Nusaybin and Sur during this so-called normal, so-called ordinary period of time. And at that time, politicians, academics, journalists, and lawyers were under arrest before the state of emergency. Some of you were in those lawyers' trials, so none of this happened under the state of emergency. Now let's look at the time when the state of emergency has been removed. The Constitution, which was amended by the referendum held during the state of emergency and which regulates the administration based on one single man, is still in force today. Political representatives of the Kurdish people arrested during the state of emergency are still under arrest. And almost every week, new ones are being arrested. Political trials against hundreds of academics with the accusation of making terrorist organizations propaganda are still going on. All governmental decrees that came into force during the state of emergency are still valid. However, today there is no state of emergency, at least officially. In my opinion, when we do not see this continuum in the state's tradition, we make criticisms that sometimes contain false or at least unenough determinations. Just want to give an example. Let's analyze one very common proposal. In Turkey, the judiciary is no longer independent. We often heard this sentence during the state of emergency. After the state of emergency, fortunately, it's still being rectified. However, I would like to draw attention to the word no longer here in the sentence and would like to ask, when was the judiciary independent in Turkey? In fact, no matter how much we speak of state of exceptions, it's important to underline that we are the witnesses of a period that the extraordinary is becoming ordinary, whether or not there is an official declaration of state of emergency. It's already very clear that this is not the only unique to Turkey. Migrants are losing their lives of the agency every day. Europe is trying to turn countries like Turkey into the police of its own borders and also into a prison for migrants. Maybe it should be underlined that these so-called borders are not only geographical markers. On the contrary, they are clearly ideological markers, and the politics on the borders are the significant indicators of the direction of the politics in national countries, or as here, the European Union itself. The direction of the legal policy developed today in the face of the financial crisis spreading across Europe is the deepening of neoliberal policies and the imposition of racism every day, everywhere, as a tool of this transformation. So I believe we have to admit that we are now passing through the days when the exception is almost becoming the rule. I know that when we consider the whole content of the conference, it sounds a bit pessimistic. However, it should not. As Foucault underlines, the social relations are determined by the dynamics of power resistance. As a strategic situation, power is everywhere, but also the resistance itself. There are thousands of other experiences and important references show us that the resistance is everywhere. Although the history of the political philosophy uses different references to one another on the nature of the resistance and the way it emerges, we can reach the same conclusion from many other perspectives. Now I will try to summarize the examples of resistance in Turkey and convey this perspective, even if it sounds weird to talk about Turkey in a positive context. 1,128 academicians have been on trial since before the state of emergency, just because they signed a declaration and made a call for peace. The trials started before the state of emergency. The trials continued during the state of emergency. The trials are still going on. They lost their jobs. Their passports were cancelled. Some of them were under arrest. But they never said they regret. They stand behind their declaration. They defend the right to peace in the courtrooms. They even institutionalize an alternative open university, which we called the Ones Without Campus, and they continue the process of producing social knowledge. Today, still every week, there are around 10 to 12 trials against these academics, who are called as Academics for Peace, in Istanbul Çağlayan Courthouse. Every day they are organizing press releases in front of the courthouse. I can claim none of those academics were alone when they were at the court. They build a very strong network of solidarity. I think their struggle is a very unique one and hope that this will be accepted as an example for the international academic community. Together with the state of emergency, hundreds of thousands of public officers, including teachers, doctors, academics, were dismissed from the public work. This did not only mean to lose their job, but it also meant that they were labeled and had no chance to find a job. Nuriye Gülmen was an academic who was also dismissed, and Semih Özakça was a primary school teacher. They started to organize a protest in Yüksel Street in the middle of Ankara together against these dismissions. Vedi Saçılık, Esra Özakça and some other dismissed public officers also participated in this demonstration. At the first 40 days, they were arrested at least 30 times. They were beaten, they were tortured. When they realized that they do not have any space, any democratic space, to continue the very basic democratic protests, two of them, Nuri and Semih, started a hunger strike. It continued more than 300 days, and today this resistance in Turkey is known as Yüksel resistance, and it's still going on with some different ways. And also similar practices started in many different cities of Turkey, such as Istanbul, Bakırköy, Kadıköy, Düzce, İzmir. Still today, many dismissed public officers, especially teachers, fight against unlawlessness at the street day by day. As you probably know, Turkey's state of emergency continued almost 2 years, and so I have to mention Turkey's feminists. Turkey's feminists had to organize March 8 demonstration under the state of emergency 2 times during the process. I'm sure that you heard about those demonstrations. I think there is not one single example like that all over the world. 10,000s of women were on the streets, and these demonstrations were accepted the most crowded ones by many different sources. And it should be also underlined that women with different political references, identities, cultural backgrounds are the real heroes of Turkey. It can be claimed that there is no one single struggle without women's strong participation. Turkey is also about to break a record with the numbers of lawyers currently detained, and of course is once more the subject of the endangered lawyers. It's our third time. This should also be accepted as a great indication of the continuity of state tradition, because the first 2 months we didn't have a state of emergency. And the last, or the second, I don't know how to name this, but the last trial of Progressive Lawyers Association was a very good example for the resistance. Despite the fact that our colleagues have been under arrest for 1 year, even only their political defenses at the courtroom are a very significant indication of the continuity of the resistance in Turkey. However, it should be underlined that a great resistance is actually organized by our colleagues who are still free or who are not in jail yet. Our colleagues from CHP and ÖHP continue to fight for the advocacy of the oppressed people, even if they know that they can be arrested at any time. Again, I would like to mention the actions of the Adalet Nöbeti, like something like Justice Guard, which have been carried out by Istanbul lawyers for more than a year every Thursday as an important example of resistance. And also I should mention the workers' resistance from different factories and sectors. Even any kind of strike were forbidden during the state of emergency. And I don't even need to mention the Kurdish people here. I think their struggle has been a continuous line for a quarter of a century. Even if it is intensity has changed time to time, they are always there and they are always fighting. And finally, once more, with reminding the importance of the everyday life practices, and I remember this while we were listening to Spain's experience, I would like to mention people from different age, different educational, cultural, political background, still continue to use social media or stuff as different tools of politics and criticize the government systematically, even they know that every year around 1,000 people are arrested with the accusation of insulting the president. These examples are defining the reason why I see hope in the face of this atmosphere. The reason of this hope is not only related with these examples, but also related with the history itself. We all know the capacity of resistance and the creativity of people while they are structuring it under the worst situations through the history. In the dark days we have been through today, I believe hope and this historical knowledge, it can also be accepted as a belief, are the strongest tool we have, and I believe we will win. Thank you.